everybody, welcome to episode 166 of Magically Amateuring.
Holy cow, 166
cows. For every episode, Megan, I buy you a cow.
What?
You have a lot of cows.
Where have you been putting them?
That's a secret. For the 200th episode, you're going to have to find your cows.
Oh my god. It's going to be a giant scavenger hunt that covers the entirety of the United States of America. I'm already excited.
It's going to be good. On today's episode, a lot of sweet stuff's happening.
I've been buying you mice for each episode.
What?
House is just infested now.
I just buy you cows. Cows are like a legitimate good present. You can get milk from them. You can get cheese from them. You can get beef from them. You can get, you know, cow back rides from them.
And mice are a legitimate way to infest someone's house.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. And on today's show, we've got some sweet, sweet action coming up. Specifically, Shadows over Innistrad action.
That's right. The pre-release is this coming weekend.
Megan, do you have your pre-release game face on?
I do.
Mine's not on yet. I'm saving it for Saturday, but...
What? I got mine out of the box and everything.
You got a new game face for this pre-release?
I got a brand new game face because I'm so excited.
It's terrifying in a way.
It is a little... The more that I'm stopping and thinking about pulling a face out of a box...
The more it sounds like murder.
The more disturbed I am.
Do you all want to see my game face ready? I'm going to do it into the camera.
Yeah. Nice. I feel like that's your game face.
Yeah. Let's see yours.
Okay.
Take it out of the box. What's in the box, Megan?
I can't. I can't do it on demand.
Okay. I was waiting.
I know.
It's fine.
I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We're going to talk Shadows over Innistrad mechanics.
Yeah.
New cards that might prove tricky when you're at your pre-release.
Yep.
So listen to this and you will know what's what.
Yeah.
And you won't feel like a butt. That's trademarked.
I am Megan BT Dubs.
Oh, I'm one Maria. Of your hosts. One of your other hosts.
Yeah.
The hosts with the mosts.
Absolutely. That's the two of us.
Yep.
And this week, not yet. They're not here yet.
What, the mice you're giving
no.
me?
No. Yeah, well, they also haven't arrived.
Oh, okay.
But we're also going to be joined by a very special guest.
Yes.
Who we have for every pre-release episode,
yep.
Which is Judge Rob.
Judge Rob will be here.
But he's still on his way.
But he's on his way. He's not here yet.
No, he's not here yet.
Hopefully, crossing our fingers, he'll be here soon.
Exactly. But, you know.
In the meantime, let me tell you a few fun facts about our show.
Yeah.
Did you know, number one, this show happens every week, rain or shine. We're like the postal service.
Yeah.
Except I was going to say we don't murder, but I'm not sure about that anymore in your case.
Faces in boxes. Got to get them from somewhere.
We're also a video podcast every week. This is something that we've been doing for the past few months, thanks to Tolarian Community College and the mm-hmm. professor, a swell guy, as they say,
yeah.
who puts our episodes up every Thursday on YouTube. So if you want to see our faces as well as hear our voices, go to YouTube and check those out. Of course, we have a Patreon. You can support us.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of great merch on there, Megan.
It's pretty sweet. You can buy playmats. You can buy t-shirts.
Yeah. You can support us and we'll give you stickers and wristbands.
It's amazing.
You can tell us what you want us to talk about on the show and we have to do it.
It's an all-around bargain.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bargain. That's $3 an episode. You can tell us what to do.
Holy cow.
Nowhere else in life can you pay that low of a price to make somebody talk about something.
I don't know. You can buy coffee for like a few dollars, and technically you're telling someone to get you coffee. But I usually like to ask.
I never really thought of as ordering somebody around. But I guess I am ordering.
You're literally placing an order.
Whoa, that's weird. Now I feel really skeezy about ordering drinks.
I mean, I've always felt weird in restaurants.
Like when you had to order?
I don't like restaurants. They make me feel weird.
Because you feel like you don't want to tell that waitress what to do.
Well, and I don't know. Just overall, we can talk some other time about how creeped out restaurants honestly make me.
Okay, because I want to know your reasons. I mean, I get it. But I also want to know.
At the top of the list is also they make me very claustrophobic because I feel like I can't come and go
escape.
At will. Yeah, it's like when you sit down to dinner at a restaurant, you're sitting down to an obligation. Like, you're going to sit there until the end of that experience.
That's true.
And I'm just like, I want to be able to get the fuck out of there if I need to.
I don't sit with my back to the door so people can't knife me in it.
Oh, that's smart.
That's my one thing.
Unless they're across the table from you.
Megan, what are you saying?
Don't go to dinner.
Megan, now who's creepy on this show, Megan? Now who's creepy? Shadows Over Innistrad. Yay! It's here, Megan.
Yeah. And we have a very special guest with us. Everybody welcome Judge Rob.
Hi.
Judge Rob, thanks for getting here in time. We were worried for a second that you weren't going to make it.
Oh, boy. I live a busy life, and I'm also really bad at showing up for things on time. So...
I get it.
Yeah, man.
Have I ever told you my theory about time management?
what is your theory about time management?
It's that, okay, because I also have a really bad time, like, getting to places on time. And I think, like, my theory is that, being timely is a skill just like math. Where it's like, you know, some people are naturally more gifted in math than other people are, and some people are naturally challenged by math. So it's just like some people are naturally very gifted at like being on time to things and like understanding time in such a way that it's easy for them to be on time. And some people like me have a really hard time like managing time in such a way.
I was going to say, because like I think I'm very good at knowing how much time has elapsed. Like I'm pretty like, if you're like, how much time has it been since I last asked you that question? I'd be pretty good at telling you. And I'm usually to time on things. And so I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's what it is.
And it's different. Like it's totally different for me, because it's like, if you ask me how long it will take me to get ready for something, my answer, like say I'm like between like getting dressed and going out the door.
Yeah.
In the winter and in the summer, I'll tell you both times that those take about 5 minutes. But the truth is that in the summer, it takes me like 30 seconds because I throw my bag on and grab my keys. And in the winter, it takes me like 7 to 10 probably because I have to like put on my boots and put on my coat and shit. But to my brain, it's just like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Judge Rob is with us.
Moving on, everybody.
I want to point out that Judge Rob is not only a judge when he joins us for this episode, he is also the USA North Regional Coordinator.
Yep.
Is that your name?
That's my title.
Title?
Yes.
Whatever.
Hello, North.
That's pretty big job, Rob.
It's a pretty big job. The United States North Region is one of the three regions that fissioned out of the Midwest region.
Rob also has pips on his collar like a Star Trek captain.
Yep, I got promoted.
That's awesome.
I used to be commander.
Perfect.
Nice. Now I have my own ship.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us. You're going to tell us all about some tricky new cards in Shadows Over Innistrad, and as well as some new mechanics and stuff. There's a lot to go through with this set. Overall, like, what are your feelings now that the set is fully spoiled? How do you feel about it?
I am extraordinarily excited for this set. This is... This might be better than the original Innistrad. This set is packed with stuff.
That's a statement, because the original Innistrad, as Megan and I know,
is
and
beloved.
You, everybody loves it.
Yeah, the original Innistrad's amazing. The original Innistrad is basically my second favorite single set draft format after Rise of the Eldrazi, which is an acquired taste.
much like goat cheese.
Yeah, and... It's really remarkably well designed. I like full block Ravnica City of Guilds better than I like Innistrad. But otherwise, the I don't know how the draft format's going to behave. It looks really exciting and interesting and complicated and tricky.
Yeah, it does, actually.
I'm more saying the depth of individual cards designed in this set is incredible. They decided to pull out all the stops and just dump all sorts of stuff into here and say, oh, when's the next time we're going to come back to Innistrad? Like 7 or 8 years? Yeah, let's just burn down every single piece of... interesting horror design space that we have, and every single just ridiculous name, and it's so good.
I know, that's how I feel. Megan, how do you feel?
I'm also super excited.
Yeah.
And pretty grossed out.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's get real. These cards are disgusting.
There are some real gross cards in here.
Oh, by the way, I should mention, we're going to name cutest card and grossest card.
Yeah, we are.
Tonight, so
is
that's...
grossest card like a 15-way tie?
Because I mean...
just about. Okay. It just about is.
Real rough.
I don't want to spoil too much, but we think that some personal phobias might be... might be determining the actual grossest card, but it's very close.
I have a personal guess. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Okay, there's so many good options. Ugh. Before we get to that monumental moment, Rob, I think one of the defining characteristics of this set is the double-faced cards that are in it. They're awesome. They're great. There's so many different kinds, and there's like ones that turn in from sorceries into creatures, and blah, 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 blah. So double-faced cards, what's the deal?
So double-faced cards, we just had them last summer with Origins, which like everybody was of the opinion, wow, our first time double-faced cards in years and we won't see them again for years and years. We're seeing them again because they're ridiculous. They're Mark Rosewater has said that they're probably the richest vein of design space that has been introduced since he's come in as a designer to Magic.
Yeah.
I may be exaggerating, but I don't think I am. I think that double-faced cards have... I may be misquoting him, but I don't think that that misquote is an exaggeration. Let's put it that way. Double-faced cards have an extraordinary amount of design space. They have great frames. They have great mechanics behind them. And it's clear, except for some of the changes that just happened, it's totally clear what's going on with them at any given time.
They literally have twice the design space of other cards.
And until we assemble contraptions, they will be king. Fingers crossed.
If you were around for the original Innistrad or for Magic Origins, you have a general idea of how double face cards work. They come in on one face, transform to the other face because something tells them to do so. Some of them move zones while they transform, like the double face planeswalkers. There are a couple of uncommons that when they die, they transform back, or they come back transformed. And they actually made a rule change to support these a little bit better.
Oh.
Previously, if something was instructed to enter the battlefield transformed, it entered the and was not a double-faced card, it entered the battlefield and didn't come back transformed. So if I had a Jace Rin's Prodigy and you played Clever Impersonator to copy my Jace, then you activated your Clever Impersonator Jace and it sent him away because you had five cards after discarding, and he tries to come back, he would come back as just a regular Clever Impersonator and he would get to copy something new. They changed this. That's not the way that it works anymore. Now he's going to stay gone.
Stay gone, Jace.
Yeah. Or Clever Impersonator.
The Clever Impersonator will stay gone. Oh. He doesn't come back because he can't come back transformed. They change it so that he just can't come back at all.
Okay.
Notably with the creatures that die and come back transformed, this is very problematic. Because if you clone them, you could sacrifice the creature and have it come back not transformed right away.
Okay.
Copying something else. So you could sacrifice it to any number of things infinitely. So that's a behind-the-scenes change that probably didn't come up before very much. It came up in... I have a friend who complained they wrecked his EDH deck because of this. Like, with everything. But they made the change basically to make these cards work a little more sanely.
Okay.
They made two other changes. The converted mana cost of the back face, of the knight face of a double-faced card, is
ooh,
now
the knight face?
Yeah.
That's
well, look
great.
At it. It's
that's
got a
literally
moon.
What it is. There's that's a little
face,
sun and
day
a
in
little
the upper
moon.
Left,
oh my.
A moon in the upper left.
God, I never saw it before.
That's how werewolves are themed.
That
like
makes
the front
sense.
Face is the day, the back face is the night.
Night man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the back face of double face cards of the moon in the upper left, they have a converted mana cost now. They used
what?
To not. They used to have a converted mana cost of zero. Now it's based on the converted mana cost of their front face.
Why?
As far as I can tell, to screw up things like Ratchet Bomb.
Or Silk Wrap.
Yeah, or Silk Wrap.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And the other thing related to this is if you copy the Knight Face of a Double Face card with the clone, that copy has a converted mana cost of zero. Because it doesn't have a day side, a front face, for that card
but
to
it can still
to.
Copy the Knight Face.
Yeah, it can still copy the Knight Face, because you can copy what's there.
That's so weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's strange. It's going to lead to questions. There's a clone in this set, so be aware if you copy a Knight Face, you get the converted mana cost of zero.
Okay. And you get the Knight Face for sure. Like,
yeah.
I would like be like, oh, I don't... I would kind of sort of assume I got the front face.
Yeah,
I don't know why I would assume that.
Well, because it's not transformed. If you think transformed is a status, which, I mean, it could be. We could structure the rules that way, but we don't. Then you don't get the status, right? Like, you don't get tapped, which is a status. So why would you get transformed?
Okay.
But you don't. You get whatever is visible right then.
Oh, okay.
And the last thing is a very kind of surreal change if you don't understand what it means. It's got a lot of words. It's basically if there's an ability that transforms a card and there's another copy of it on the stack, the other copies in the stack aren't going to transform it again, which sounds super complicated. It basically means the same ability can't transform a creature unless something else transforms it in between. So when you look at Elusive Torment, right? She is a 4/4 vampire wizard for black 2.
This card is great, BTW.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She's really powerful. One colorless and discard a card to transform her. On her other side, she's Insidious Mist. Insidious Mist. It's a 0/1 hexproof indestructible elemental. Insidious Mist can't be blocked and can't block And whenever it attacks and isn't blocked, you may pay black and two. If you do, transform it. So what you can't do is activate Elusive Tormentor's ability, hold priority, activate it again, let it transform to the mist, and then transform back. That ability has already transformed it, and so it can't transform it again until the other ability has transformed it.
Whoa.
It's really relevant with Archangel Avacyn, who, if enough creatures died, could transform back and forth and kill your opponent. So if you have 13 creatures, under the old rules, if you had 13 creatures die with Avacyn on the battlefield, she would flip-flop back and forth and your opponent would die.
Wow, that's crazy. And also very flavorful.
Yeah, super flavorful. I thought it was really awesome when I saw it, and then, no, it doesn't work that way. That's the subtle things to be aware of with double-faced cards. Otherwise, in general, they're all over the map. We'll go into individual cards later, but you transform them when they say to be transformed. And that could be in any number of circumstances.
Yeah, there's some lots
really
of
weird cards.
Different things happening with these double-faced cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, people are saying that Elusive Tormentor might be, you know, standard playable. I don't know. Is that crazy?
Seems perfectly standard playable. It's a reasonable on-curve creature that is very, very difficult to kill. because you can just...
Siege Rhino 2.0.
Yeah. Well, and then can change back and hit for four, and then it's still hard to kill. Like, it's difficult to kill an Elusive Tormentor if your opponent has mana and cards.
Okay. Megan, I'm so excited to play with double face cards in this pre-release.
Me too.
Mono double face deck.
One thing to note with the new packs with double face cards in them, Wizards had said there are about 1.125 double face cards per pack. In the previous Innistrad, there was a slot that was a double-faced card.
For sure.
It was always a double-faced card. In this set, there's a slot that's always a double-faced card, and then sometimes a double-faced card, a non-foil one, will replace a common.
Okay.
And that replacement could also be foil.
Okay.
So you can end up with two double-faced cards in your packs.
Question. For draft, so, you know, if people, like, win packs at the pre-release and they want to draft with their friends... And you're drafting double-faced cards. Is it, like, supposed to be known information and you have to show it off, like, when you drafted a double-faced Planeswalker?
Yes. How we used to do it with previous Innistrad drafts is it would be kind of half-called, where I would have everyone, like, in the top eight of a Pro Tour qualifier, I would have them all open their booster packs, and then I'd have everyone go around the table and announce what their double-faced card was going around the table. So that way there wasn't any, you know, trying to peek and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I would have them announce that they were drafting a double-faced card so that people wouldn't have to look.
So every time you'd be like, oh, I'm drafting Elusive Tormentor, put it down.
It made it a little like, more vocal than I like competitive drafts to be, but at the same time, it saves you from, did Megan draft a double-faced card? Oh, I just saw the cards that she's drafting from.
Judge,
I need to tell you this or I'm going to get disqualified.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so when you're drafting in a competitive setting, so the top eight of a PPTQ or day two of a Grand Prix, there's going to be special procedures for handling double-faced cards. There's a little bit of discussion about how to do so because the two double-faced cards in a pack make it a little weird now. Where, you know...
Oh, man, people are just going to know who's drafting werewolves. Like, that seems to me as like a kind of... It's kind of a disadvantage in a way.
It's a huge advantage in many ways. In a normal
draft, people will get out of your way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. If I take werewolf as my first three picks, then the person on my left is not going to take any werewolves ever, right?
Unless they're
true.
Unless they want to hate draft against me, but like mathematically, they're not going to face me to the finals anyways.
Okay.
What they'd rather do is set me up in a good deck and let me stomp their opponents. So
yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Yep.
Okay, so that's double-faced cards. Let's move on to some of the ability words, keywords, mechanics. Delirium is the first on your list because it's... Why? New?
Because it's new, it's exciting, it's weird. It's Tarmogoyf the mechanic, basically.
Yeah, it is.
So Delirium is an ability word. It counts card types in your graveyard. It doesn't make you count your opponent's graveyard, unlike Tarmogoyf, which is really nice. You only have to keep track of what's in yours. And it's basically Threshold Light for those people who have been playing Magic for basically long enough to learn how to raise a kid and have them be able to go to school.
It's a great measure of time. Oh, wow.
Thresholds from Odyssey. Thresholds actually, okay, like from 2001.
All right.
So Threshold can almost drive. And so...
it's a weird way to think about it.
Yeah. Basically, at some point, Delirium's going to turn on, and it's an ability ward. It just tells you, pay attention when you get different card types in your graveyard. Your spells and abilities are going to do different things. You're going to turn on abilities on creatures. Every card of Delirium is different from each other. There's a handful of cycles, but it's all over. It's spells that change the way that they resolve. It's creatures with new activated or triggered abilities. And Delirium counts card types. It doesn't count subtypes.
Okay, so...
So it's not like a core. It wouldn't count allies.
Yeah, right.
But it counts creature.
Yeah. It counts creature. It counts planeswalker. It counts land. There's the oddball, if you're playing in older sets, in modern, you'll see tribal. Tribal is a card type.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So Tarfire or Bitter Blossom is half of Delirium on its own.
Oh. Because they have two types. That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's a strange, interesting mechanic. It discourages your opponent from trying to mill you. And there's lots of things that randomly mill your opponent in this set.
Yeah, it's kind of like, am I going to take this chance?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you know what else is interesting? So when they designed this set, they wanted to create your hand is like a representation of your mind, of your sanity.
Yes.
And so losing cards to like either madness, which makes perfect sense, and having them in their delirium, you're crazy because they're not in your hand anymore, makes you insane.
Yes.
I love that.
This is really, really Arkham Horror, the set.
Yeah.
Maria, as a person, how many cards are in your hand, do you think?
Oh, great question. Out of like my 7 card max.
Out of a 7 card max.
5.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm definitely not at 7.
No.
Don't agree with
me. But who is? But who is?
What do you think you are?
God, I'm probably a 3 to 4, depending.
What? You think I'm more sane than you?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, if you look on the surface, we'd probably swap places.
Yeah.
But I think once you delve a little deeper, of the two of us, I'm the one who has a few fewer marbles in the bag.
Did you hear her theory about timeliness earlier?
That's true.
Yeah, I'm just saying, once you get below the surface.
Oh, God, this is so funny.
I have
funny.
A few fewer cards in hand.
We really need to make a poll. How many cards in hand do you have? And it's like for like a psychologist, like a picture.
One of those silly BuzzFeeds determines how many cards you have in hand at the end of it.
Let's make the poll.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to do it.
Oh, it's not going to be as good as our Which Steve Are You?
Oh, Which quiz. Steve Are You is a great
that
quiz.
Was a great quiz.
I got Steve, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, sorry.
Moving on.
Yes.
Because we're in the Arkham Horror universe, we get to investigate.
Yes, we have to find out things.
And we don't know too. Like we our last podcast, we're like, ooh, do we get to find out what the big bad thing is that makes everybody insane?
No, and because there's still so much investigating
but we've
to
investigate
do.
Investigate all the time. Okay.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it's really cool. Let's get down to it. Investigate. I'm Poirot.
Investigates a keyword action like draw or scribe. Okay. So it gets just used naturally in sentences. And well, as
I
opposed
say
to
scry all the time during the workday.
Equipped creature gains flying is a really dumb sentence when you really look at it. Equipped creature gains indestructible is even worse.
How would you say it? How would you say it?
How would you say those sentences naturally?
Yeah.
Equipped creature is indestructible.
Oh yeah. That makes sense.
Equipped creature flies.
But it has to gain it, right? Because it doesn't have it.
Because it's an ability. Indestructible is like...
Anyway.
Indestructible is an adjective.
I'm really getting in the weeds.
Oh boy. And so...
You guys want to hear my theory about timeliness?
Okay. So what you're saying is like, it's always the same. Investigate always means the same thing.
Yeah, investigate always means the same thing. Something will tell you to investigate. It means to put out a clue token. Clue tokens are costless artifacts. 2 colorless and sacrifice a clue, draw a card.
Yep.
And there's lots of things that help you with investigation. There's lots of things that investigate frequently.
Like
there's
a
lots
magnifying
of things that,
glass.
Yes.
Shut up.
There's lots of things that reward you for sacrificing clues. The sleuth is one. There's this set, as far as I can tell, they decided investigate was a sweet mechanic, and they put it on like every third
everything.
Card.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, it, you know why?
Why?
It's half of drawing a card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they costed it at.
So, like, I've noticed a lot of, you know, cards that would have normally cost 4 now cost 5, for example. Yep. Smite the Monstrous is now 5.
Yep.
And but you also get to investigate. I'm like, yeah, is it worth it? Would I rather just smite something?
Wait, I think smite is still 4, but it's at uncommon.
Oh, I'll look it up.
Yeah,
there's continue.
So, anyways.
Yeah, like, I think that they treated it when they were costing stuff as half of drawing a card.
Yeah.
And they realized at some point, oh, if it's half of drawing a card, we can just put it as a rider on all sorts of stuff.
Put it on everything.
Yeah.
Is this card exciting yet? No. Investigate.
Yeah. Is this card exciting yet? No. Investigate 4
investigate
times.
Investigate.
Is there an investigate 4?
I thought there was investigate 4. Maybe I'm hallucinating.
There is. No, there's definitely something I think that says investigate 4.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There's a thing that says what the Nahiri comes in wrecks Soren's house card is exile target creature and all creatures of the same name. Those creatures' controllers investigate for each creature exiled this way.
So you could potentially investigate for 1,000. It's like
all of these creatures disappeared. We have to investigate each disappearance.
Well, I plan to actually play that to exile my own creatures. Did you know that tokens share names?
Ooh.
It's going to be a little bit. I predict that there's going to be squirrels turning into investigations pretty
indeed, humble the brute, 4 and a white, destroy target creature with power 4, greater investigate.
All right. It is so uncommon. It is both uncommon and it costs 1 more.
Yeah. Wait, what makes squirrels in this set?
Nothing makes squirrels in this set.
Nothing.
I'm just saying in my EDH decks. That's what I play.
So excited. Like,
Maria, there's no squirrels.
Wizards, please make Innistrad. Me a squirrels. Please make me some more squirrels.
Conspiracy 2 is coming.
Okay. Yes.
So moving on from investigate, that's what I got to say.
Pretty easy.
Yep.
Pretty sweet.
Madness. Madness is a returning mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to walk through how it behaves right now, and then I'll tell you a little bit about how it's changed.
Okay.
Madness is, if a card is madness and a madness cost, anytime that you discard this card for any reason, you exile it. It's going to happen no matter what. It gets exiled. Then a trigger goes in the stack that says you can cast this card for its madness cost. And then if you decide not to cast it for its madness cost, then it gets put into the graveyard.
Okay.
Otherwise,
so it's but like, no matter what, it has to make a stop in exile.
Yep. It goes to exile. Stop. Yep. There was under previous madness, they changed the way madness works for this set. Previously, you got to choose whether or not to exile it or discard it to the graveyard, and they decided it's just easier to make it always get exiled.
Like, yeah.
It makes the gameplay smoother. It makes Jace Byrne's Prodigy a little less powerful. Okay, good.
Got it.
Madness has had a lot of changes. Every time they brought back Madness, they functionally changed it.
They're like, we've got it this time.
They're working on it.
Yeah, it's one of the most complicated mechanics that's ever returned more than it.
I mean, it seems complicated. If I were a newer player, I think I'd be very confused by Madness.
Yeah, I've seen people ask, they were like, so... Like, you discard it to cast it for its madness cost, and everybody goes, no. You discard it in order to pay it for the madness cost. You can't just discard things whenever you want.
The same way that you can't just sacrifice something.
Right, and they go, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Like, why do things have madness costs that are higher than their mana costs? Well, you're drawing a card. Like, that's basically what it says, is you may draw a card right now. And it has to be this card, and you have to play it. But
pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's +1 card.
This is, by the way, everybody's, you know, voted on Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, get on the Twitter. Magic equals Twitter. They voted, and Madness was the mechanic that everybody was the most excited about. Even more than double face cards.
Ooh,
isn't that crazy?
Man, that is crazy.
I've been waiting for the mechanic I'm most excited about.
So, say we're talking about, again, Jace Friend's Prodigy.
Yep.
So you tap Jace Friend's Prodigy to do your looting situation. So you draw a card, and then you discard a card with madness on it.
Yep.
It goes into exile.
Correct.
And the trigger goes on the stack.
Correct.
And it says, do you want to cast this, or do you want to send it to the graveyard? Do you decide that before Jace sees whether there are 5 cards in the graveyard?
So say you have 4 cards in your graveyard before you activate Jace.
Yes.
And you discard a card with madness.
Yeah.
Jace won't transform. The trigger happens after Jace finishes resolving.
Because
it can't do its thing in the middle of his effect.
Gotcha. So he says, I don't see 5 cards.
Yep.
I'm going to stay tiny.
I'm going to continue to be a teenager. Yes.
I'm angst.
If only we could all decide to just stay a teenager.
Would you?
I had great teenage years. Probably,
You're telling me that that's your peak.
I peaked. You peaked in high school.
Oh, and you think I have low self-esteem.
You know, like, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, ah, high school was just, like, the best. Like, I loved it. What is
wrong with you?
I got to go to school every day. I love going to school. I got to hang out with my friends and play banjos on the porch and make some steak in the backyard. Like, that's all I want.
So you had the whitest teenagerhood that I've ever listened to happen.
So, to be fair, the banjos in the back porch is me, too, because my dad is an avid banjo player.
Where are you guys from?
Northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's like
Jesus.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, go and do some plays. It was a fun, and then, like, cruise around in your tiny town where, like, the cops could, you know, chase you, but you could evade them, and, like...
Yeah, there was a town 3 miles out of my small town that had half a police officer. that's actually literally true. He didn't have legs.
Oh, I thought you...
No, you were laughing because you thought that he meant metaphorically, and then it turned out he meant literally. You can't be blamed for that.
Okay.
It's fun because it's two punchlines.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, point is...
Madness.
Well, madness.
Madness. I'm mostly done with madness.
Okay.
Okay, well, before we Jace, stop...
It doesn't do its thing. It doesn't in the do its thing. Jace finishes resolving.
I do have one more thing with madness. So it's a triggered ability that goes in the stack, and both players can respond to it. It's in exile while that triggers in the stack. They can process it out of exile.
Oh, okay.
So there's Ulamog's Nullifier.
So you could process something before they can cast it?
Correct.
If it's an instant speed. Interesting.
So if I cast... a question that I saw come up. I cast Tormenting Voice, which is in the set. I, as an additional cost to cast Tormenting Voice, discard a card. I discard a Fiery Temper, which has Madness, right?
Okay.
With that trigger on the stack, my opponent casts Ulamog's Nullifier, processes the Fiery Temper in another card, and counters my Tormenting Voice.
No! The sick blowout!
It's
wrecked.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They got to counter two spells and get like a flyer out of that.
Wrecked.
That's awesome.
And so there's like four-ish cards that can process at instant speed naturally.
Okay.
And wow. So it's possible to get blown out that way.
Before we move on, I have one more thing to say about madness.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Hold on. Oh, come on. Come on.
I have something to say also.
Here we go. This is madness, everybody.
We can't hear it.
Yeah. I literally cannot hear anything.
It's Our House by Madness.
Okay, wait. I have something better to say.
What?
No.
You're getting blown up by an advertisement.
No.
That's like a 30-second advertisement.
Oh, Megan. We were so close to having a great...
I know. Hold on.
Okay. Holding on.
Hold on. What is this? Come on.
Is this another 30-second advertisement?
No. This is the beginning of a stupid music video.
Yeah, this one started with a scene, too.
Ugh. Why are you doing this to me?
People, start your music videos with music. This has been a PSA. What is this?
This is Muse.
Muse? So what we're saying is there's a lot of great songs that either are about madness or by madness.
There you go. Anyway. I mean... All right. I'm just saying that the rest of us could hear mine, so...
I was really jamming out, you guys.
We literally couldn't hear anything.
I know, and I'm like bringing the microphone to the computer like, you've got to hear this. And I don't actually know if it got recorded or not. We'll see.
All right.
So, I think that made you lose a card in your hand, by the way. Okay.
Yeah, I'm at 4 now. Skulk! Skulk!
So Skulk is actually the mechanic I'm most excited for in this set.
Ooh.
And that's because I'm a design geek. I think that Skulk is remarkable. It's simple. It's simple. It's clear. So Skulk, now that we've talked about why I'm excited about it, I should tell you what it does. So Skulk says, it goes on creatures, and it says, this creature can't be blocked by creatures that have power greater than its power.
Ooh, nice.
That's it. Bigger things can't block me. And if I get bigger, I'm more blockable. So
I mean, that's just...
That's just factual.
Factual.
Yeah.
And so there's been a problem in Magic's history where blue and black don't have great overlap for creature keywords.
Mm-hmm.
They have flying.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only creature keyword that blue and black have for overlap.
Okay.
And that's awkward. I mean, blue's the worst at creatures, by the way that the game's divvied up.
Yeah.
So that's fine that it has less creature keyword overlap. They finally found a creature keyword for blue-red recently, which was the other big offender, which is prowess.
Prowess.
Yeah. But Skulk is straightforward. It has tons of design space. Like, creatures with sorcery speed pump abilities, creatures that have zero power and do interesting evasive things, creatures with high power that then increase other people's power, creatures that can pump other creatures. There's all sorts of stuff you can do that's interesting with Skulk. Skulk and Prowess are really, really interesting together.
Yeah.
Because at some point you'll start getting punished for casting spells, but not necessarily right away.
I like Skulk because it sounds silly, and I wish they printed a skunk with Skulk.
Conspiracy too.
Skulk skunk. Wouldn't that be great?
Sure.
Just saying.
I mean, we'd have to have creature type skunk first.
Is there not creature type skunk?
There's creature type ferret. They'd probably make it a ferret out of spite.
How could they?
Ferret. They aren't even closely related. They'd just be like, whatever.
Ferret.
Now I actually want to see if there's a skunk.
Okay. So yeah, people are thinking this might have, it might have the ability to be evergreen.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty sweet.
I would be excited about Skulk being evergreen.
Yeah, man.
And note that the one thing that it does, it checks power only during declared blockers.
Yeah.
And so if you raise the power later of either creature, don't care.
Nice.
Or if you lower the power, if you raise or lower the power of either creature, it doesn't matter.
It is going to make some awkward interactions with, like, Chasm Skulker.
Yeah, I just looked that up. Nope, does not have Skulk.
What are you doing,
buddy?
Skulking
Deep Fathom
Ghost.
Skulker. Mm.
There was a lot of cards that had Skulk on them in their name.
In their name.
Do not have Skulk.
But, you know, going forward.
Going forward, Skunk and Skulk, Skulky Skunk. The Skull Skunk. It's going to be a skunk made of skulls, so it's going to be a Skull Skunk with Skulk. Nope, that's not even right.
A Skull Skunk with Skulk?
Yeah, that's
it. A Skulking Skull Skunk?
Megan, how are you so good at that?
I don't know.
Try and say this.
What?
German wristwatch, but you have to say it fast.
German wristwatch?
Dang it.
I don't know what to tell you.
You've just got a magic mouth.
Moving on. Individual cards.
No, I don't.
So I could actually probably talk about almost every card in this set. This set
is so cool.
It's so cool.
It has the best names, and it has the best ridiculous weird cards. I'm actually going to start with a card that doesn't have anything interesting mechanically. It just has a great name.
Which is?
You have the magic mouth, so you get to say it.
What? Triskaidekaphobia.
Yay!
It's sweet!
It is cool, though, because the art, all that stuff is 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
13 branches in the trees, even.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's,
wow.
It's really absurd. One of the more interesting things, those two. So Triskaidekaphobia says, it's an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose one. Each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, then each player gains one life. Or, each player with exactly 13 life loses the game, then each player loses one life.
I know, when I first read this, I was like, what? But then I got it. Like, nothing happens if nobody's at 13.
Right.
And then the other part resolves.
Right, and you can't use it to save yourself. If your opponent puts you at 13, you're dead.
Whoa! Are you playing this card?
Oh, I'm going to play this card. I'm going to play this card, actually, independent of the lose the game clause, because Rakdos, Lord of Riots, really wants things that can one the opponent on their upkeep.
Sure.
And so you can play Triskaidekaphobia on 4, and then you're guaranteed to be able to play Rakdos on 5. But regardless, the interesting thing, those two different lines that each player loses ... have 13 words in each of them.
That's sick.
Deep. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they get to make a card like this about once a decade. The last time they made a card that had this much nonsense packed into it was Hex.
Oh, yeah, Hex.
Yeah, Hex.
Infamous.
Yeah.
Hex.
Cost 6. It says destroy 6 target creatures. It says when killing 5 just isn't enough, which is a 6-word flavor text.
Nice. This card is just not good, though, right?
I play it in EDH. Like every other piece of commentary, the card is actually okay. It's basically an asymmetrical Wrath of God in a lot of circumstances.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just fine. It's not incredible. It's when you compare it to you know...
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Triskaidekaphobia.
Oh, Triskaidekaphobia? It's probably not.
No.
There's a conceivable grindy black-white deck that might want it, but doubtful.
That would be cool if there was.
It'd be really cool.
Nice. Well, we've got some other sweet cards on this list.
Yeah, we're
Seasons
gonna,
Pass.
Not as flavorful, perhaps, as Triskaidekaphobia, but
yeah,
just as
cool.
Yeah, just cool. Seasons Past. Seasons Past is a green sorcery, green, four to cast. It says, return any number of cards with different converted mana costs from your graveyard to your hand. And then put Seasons Past in the bottom of its owner's library. So that last bit is to make sure that you don't Season Past for Season Past repeatedly.
Yes.
But the one thing that I think that people are going to miss when they look at this card is lands cost zero. So you're going to get, like...
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get almost all the time 0, 1, 2, 4 or something. So you'll probably pick up a random land because you're going to be playing this in deck with some self-mill or whatever.
Yeah.
And just be aware that zero is a number and lands of a converted mana cost of zero.
Very
zero
cool.
Zero is a number.
Yeah, that's a card that I definitely saw in the spoiler and was like, all right.
Yeah.
If you're going to look at a similar card in the history of Magic, you probably want All Sun's Dawn. Which returns a card of each color.
Yeah.
Which had a... If Standard wasn't so messed up at the time, it probably would have been a real deck.
Yeah. Was it during, like...
It was during Mirrodin Block. It was in Fifth Dawn. And so, there was an All Sun's Dawn five-color control deck that returned five cards with All Sun's Dawn, which was incredible. But then it had to fight Affinity, and Affinity just kind of ate it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was the way that Standard
stupid
worked.
Stupid robots.
Yeah, it's stupid robots.
Up next, Avacyn's Judgment.
Avacyn's Judgment. She's this is mad. Part of a three-card cycle with Madness X. It's the one that does the most interesting thing out of the group, so I held on to it. Red and one sorcery. Avacyn's Judgment deals 2 damage divided as you choose amongst any number of target creatures and or players. That's a fine spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Avacyn's Judgment's Madness cost was paid, it deals X damage divided as you choose amongst those creatures and or players instead.
That's bomb.
Yeah, and it has a Madness of Red and X. And so it's just straight up divide up some damage. Yeah.
It's better Rolling Thunder.
Yeah. it's a cheaper Rolling Thunder. And the one thing of note is, like Rolling Thunder, you divide this damage at the time that you cast the spell. And so be aware that as you're casting Avacyn's Judgment, that's when you have to divide up the damage.
Okay.
And so your opponent knows what's getting what kind of damage.
Yeah. It also has sweet art that's going to be on the GP Minneapolis playmat.
Yes.
So everybody should come and be our friends.
Oh, yes.
I'm very excited. Like, you know, like we have a lot of playmats, but this is one that I'm excited to get.
Yeah, this is a great playmat.
It looks super great. Avacyn's swooping in there all wrathful and
I'm so excited for Standard coming up, and I'm not usually very excited for Standard. But I am because of GP Minneapolis, and because I'm like, ooh, we're getting some new decks in here. Please, dear God, let
Maria,
it not be.
Maria, we've heard it enough. We've heard it enough. You say Red Black Vampires one more time.
I was going to say, we're not going to let Rally and Siege Rhino decks get out. I don't want
let them die.
Let's have a variety.
Just
anyway.
Let them die.
Yeah. And so this card, obviously, very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Archangel Avacyn, even better.
maybe. Like, burn spells are powerful.
That's true.
Archangel Avacyn, white 3 for a 4/4 legendary angel. Flash.
Flying, vigilance, everything.
Yes. Well, 3 things.
Oh.
she is flash, flying, and vigilance. And then when she enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn.
Yeah.
So if that card was a card on its own, that would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you flash it out, you block, just mug everything they attack with, and Avacyn also gains indestructible until end of turn.
No big
deal.
Then she has another line of text. When a non-angel creature you control dies, transform Archangel Avacyn at the beginning of the next upkeep. So something dies and she just flips out, right?
She really flips out.
And then I failed to put her backside on here, so I'm gonna click.
She's
put
her backside 6/5. On.
Yeah, she's a 6/5. She's huge on the other side.
You don't say, look, Rob, you can't say that about a woman's backside.
But I like big butts.
Can you lie about it, though?
Well, obviously not, right?
Yeah, no, you.
Okay, her flip side is Avacyn the Purifier, 6/5, flying, obviously. When this creature transforms into Avacyn the Purifier, it deals 3 damage to each other creature and each opponent.
Yep, so she 3s everything. She goes crazy when you kill one of her friends and goes on a homicidal rampage. She says, burn it all down.
I love it. I love it.
The one thing of note with her, so if you have an Archangel Avacyn out and you have 5 creatures die, right?
Yes.
That means she triggers 5 times, right?
Okay.
On your opponent's next upkeep. And this is why you can't transform to the same ability more than once.
Because otherwise it'd be like, three, flip, three, flip, three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which and, would be insane.
Yeah, and so she would just be like, yep, are you an opponent? I flipped, you know, nine times this turn. Five of those dealt you damage. So
you take 15.
Yeah.
And all your creatures take 15.
Yeah.
Yes. So she, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that does not happen. Yeah. She's stuck on Avacyn the Purifier once she gets to that side because she has no natural way to transform back. You can
once you go that crazy, mm-hmm. you don't go back.
Yes. Yeah. And note that she has different names on different sides.
So you can have one of each.
Yeah. You can have Avacyn the Purifier, and then your opponent's like, I want to kill your Avacyn the Purifier. You go, nope. Avacyn's going to protect my Avacyn the Purifier.
No!
They probably lose the game.
Yeah, seems likely.
Cool.
So we're going to hit another flip card next, another transform
Ooh,
card.
Flip I love this card so much!
Yes, Startled Awake.
Ooh.
Blue 2, Sorcery. Target opponent puts the top 13 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Yeah,
that's an okay card. It's not amazing.
Million 13.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then it has blue 3. Put Startled Awake from your graveyard onto the battlefield transformed. Activate this ability only anytime you could cast a sorcery. Because it says it does something from your graveyard, it's activatable only while it's in your graveyard. You can't activate it while it's in other zones, while it's in your hand or whatever.
Yeah.
And the other side of Startled Awake is Persistent Nightmare.
Oh, it's a demon child.
Yeah. Persistent Nightmare is a 1/1 creature nightmare with skulk. So this creature can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. When Persistent Nightmare deals combat damage to a player, return it to its owner's hand.
I mean, this card is just terrifying.
Yes, yeah. this card is the best implementation of having a nightmare.
That's a good point. It is. Yeah. Because in a way you can't stop it. Like, having a one-power dude, like, that's not going to be super unreasonable in this set because of the tokens. We get, you know, 1/1 flyers. We have humans that can be made. So, like, it's sort of reasonable. But if you don't, like, what can you do? Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
The nightmare is going to get you.
Yeah. And they will jerk you out of sleep over and over until you die from not being able to sleep.
I've heard some people say that, like, this is not fun because it's not interactive.
This card?
Yes.
This card's fine. You can still kill the 1/1.
But I love it. I love it so much. I love that it's a sorcery that turns into a murderous, weird child that can come back and destroy your life.
And, like, honestly, you have to spend a lot of mana to do this, right? Yep. It's 4 up front and then 5 to bring it back and then 4 to startle him awake again. So it's 13 mana, which is also neat.
What? Right. They couldn't.
Oh my god.
Nice.
And so it costs 13 mana to get them for 13 twice, which in limited probably kills them at that point.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you still had to spend 13 mana for this, so.
Worth it.
Have you guys ever had any recurring nightmares?
Yes.
Or persistent nightmares?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've not. I'm like just naturally phlegmatic. I just don't care.
Mine was that there was the Grim Reaper in Moonlight with his scythe outside my neighbor's window, and me and my neighbor were in her room looking at him.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
It's creepy as hell.
I know.
Are either of you dead now?
We both are.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the dream. And it was like, it was very simple. And it wasn't like scary. Like, we weren't scared. It was just like, oh, that's happening. And he's staring at us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't death staring at all of us?
Yes.
My persistent nightmare is, and I used to have it, but I luckily I don't anymore, is that I would be in some sort of situation where people that I knew were in danger. Like, there was some sort of, like, very dangerous situation that I had to alert people to. But the more I tried to talk, I would get, the more my jaw would lock up.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Until my whole jaw was so tight that I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. And the only way I could get my jaw to loosen would be to stop trying to talk. And anytime I tried to talk again, it would just tighten right up again.
That's like the most stressed dream I've ever heard.
I know. And I would wake up and my face would ache. Like, my jaw would hurt. God.
Were you grinding your teeth in your sleep?
I don't know.
Okay.
Luckily, it stopped.
Whew,
I was relieved of the stressful situation which was causing that nightmare, and I immediately stopped having it.
Oh, that's so creepy.
It was terrible, though. It was really,
Actually, whenever you play this card, nightmare. I want to know what everybody's persistent nightmare is when they play this card. Like, I want to hear the story, because that's really interesting.
So if someone plays this card against you, make sure you stop and be like, hey, tell me your persistent nightmare.
And then charge them $50. Up next, we have Gaia Reach Bandit.
Yep, Gaia Reach Bandit. Gaia Reach Bandit is a 3/2 human rogue werewolf for red and two. Gaia Reach Bandit has haste, which is sweet. I played this card just fine. 3 cost, 3/2 haste. Like, probably wouldn't play it in standard. It needs another ability, which it does. It has the werewolf transform at the beginning of each upkeep. If no spells were cast last turn.
Oh, is that transform all werewolves? Transform that same
one? Yeah, every werewolves, and this is every werewolf, and this is the cool thing that they had in the other Innistrad, is you are running away from werewolves by casting spells.
Makes sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you need to keep casting spells or else the werewolf
literally
will chase you.
Like Jace in the recent story.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so you have to keep casting spells to run away from werewolves. And if you can't cast a spell, then they transform into an even more terrifying werewolf.
Yeah.
And he transforms into Vilden Pack Alpha. It's a 4/3 werewolf. Whenever a werewolf enters the battlefield under your control, you may transform it.
That's so sick.
Yes.
Wow. Like,
he makes his friends super terrifying. And then he has the werewolf transform back trigger, which is at the beginning of each upkeep, if a player cast 2 or more spells last turn, transform Vilden Pack Alpha.
You see all the little werewolves in the back of the art?
Yeah, they're like, Wee! They're like flying squirrels and wolves. Seriously, this card is really, really scary too.
Yes. All the werewolves are deliberately just kind of terrifying stories, right? Like the little old, in the previous block, there was a little old woman who looked all nice and cute and transformed into a werewolf.
So this one is like a Red Riding Hood myth. She transformed,
myth.
Here it is.
Did you say the Little Red Riding Hood MILF?
Not intentionally. You have the magic mouth and I don't.
I missed it, David. Yeah.
All right.
Kindly Stranger. That's who is.
Yeah, Kindly Stranger. Kindly Stranger is really terrifying.
That art is like... talk about a stress dream.
Mm-hmm.
He's a werewolf. He's the werewolf transformed back, and I wanted to touch on him in part because he's the coolest werewolf in the set, and in part because for people that didn't play before, all the werewolves share this common trigger. They all transform to one direction at the same time, and they all transform back at the same time.
They all transform into one direction at the same time.
Yes.
Well, girl, you don't know you're beautiful.
So, and run away from werewolves, cast spells frantically.
Yes.
We have a pretty sweet werewolf who we've talked about on the show before, Arlen Cord, a planeswalker.
Yeah. What? Let's jump to Arlen. She is the second transformed planeswalker that starts as a planeswalker. So she is she costs red, green, 2 for a 3 loyalty planeswalker. She is +1 until end of turn. Up to 1 target creature gets +2/+2 and gains vigilance and haste, which is just a sweet +1.
Yeah.
It's comparable to Elspeth Knight Errant, which is a pretty good pedigree.
Yeah, very true.
Her 0 is put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield and then transform Arlen Cord, which, again, comparable to Elspeth Knight Errant, makes a pretty sensible token.
And then she becomes Arlen Embraced by the Moon.
Yes. Which has a +1 of creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn, which is just a mini overrun.
Yep.
And her -1 is Arlen Embraced by the Moon deals 3 damage to target creature or player and then transform her.
Yep.
So she can alternate between wolves and lightning bolts, which is a fine choice.
Seems
right.
Good.
And then her ultimate is on her knight face. -6, you get an emblem with creatures you control have haste and tap. This creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
Yeah, that's kind of unbeatable, but...
It's...
You need to have creatures, but hopefully...
Hopefully you have the wolves that Arlen randomly made.
You've at least made some art, like wolves with her, yeah.
Yeah, like, she... I think that the best direct comparison to her is Elspeth Knight Errant.
What about people like, is she just a different Huntmaster of the Fells?
That's also fine.
Okay.
Like, Master of the Fells is really good, right?
Yeah. Modern playable card.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. So this is what I've been wondering about her. So on her face, she has got a 3 loyalty. She flips over to this wolf. -1, are you just like moving your dice off of her and like keeping track of her loyalty somewhere else?
She retains the same loyalty.
Okay.
I would, so the way that I tend to play double-faced cards is I use checklists. And so what I would actually probably do is leave the checklist out, track loyalty on the checklist, and set my clear sleeved double faced card next to it.
Why do you use checklists?
Because in case I'm bad and my sleeves aren't opaque enough, they're not marked. So if your sleeves are a little bit transparent and you can see a double faced card through it, then your cards are marked.
Okay.
Or you don't forget to flip it back over or something like that.
So you don't fail to transform it.
And you don't have to pull it out of its sleeve to transform it.
Right, exactly. And so I get to keep them double sleeved in their own transparent sleeve, so I don't have to pull them out, risk damaging them. There's a lot of bonuses to using the checklist cards.
Word.
And so that's the way that I would do it. You are welcome to do mostly whatever you want, as long as it's clear.
Yep. Mostly whatever you want.
Yeah. I could imagine some alterations of Arlencord's art that wouldn't be acceptable.
Fair enough.
I'm also, as a character, Arlencord's also super exciting because she is a powerful middle-aged woman that isn't a crone and isn't made up to look like a younger woman.
I know, we talked about it on the show, and we were very excited about it. And somebody even commented on a YouTube video that was like, hey, good job, Magic. You know, you've got my female friends to play the game because they're not feeling, objectified or made into an old, scary woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
there's lots of space in between everybody.
Yeah. I mean, she's scary because she's a werewolf, but she's not scary because she's, a horrifying crone.
Yeah.
She has skills and talents and power, which, I mean...
What else more do you want?
Than yeah, exactly.
Skills and talents and power. We skipped over. There's a flip artifact.
Yeah, I love
this. There's a couple of transform artifacts. This is the one that is the weirdest, and so I call it on neglected heirloom. It's an equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1. It costs one colorless to cast, and it costs one colorless to equip. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. It's a Leonin Scimitar. It's not amazing, but it's not. It doesn't make me sick to my stomach to play this card. But what it does say is, when equipped creature transforms, transform neglected heirloom.
That's so cool.
On the other side, it's Ashmouth Blade, which is an equipment. Equipped creature gets +3/+3 and has first strike. And it has an equip cost of 3. The thing I want to call out, this doesn't make it fall off the creature.
It just stays on with +3/+3.
Yep, it just upgrades.
And then if the creature dies, it just falls off and it's that +3/+3 one, right?
Yep, and then it's the +3/+3 first strike. Which, I mean, is just way better than...
+1/+1.
Yeah.
Any day.
It costs 3 to equip on the other side for Ashmouth Blade.
I'd pay that.
Yeah. I would gladly pay that for this card. And it makes your werewolves fairly indomitable.
Can you imagine a werewolf coming at you with a sword?
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
I've had to deal with that. I lived through the original Innistrad, ma'am.
All right. By the way, in this art, there's a cute little mouse looking at the first one. Aww. And then that mouse is dead as a doornail in the second one.
Oh, no.
It's really sad.
Poor mouse.
Yeah.
No. Really sad.
It's pretty rough for him.
I fought a werewolf with a sword.
Did you?
But just in my everyday.
Just in your normal life.
Okay. Yeah.
Was it a silver sword?
Yeah, of course.
Well, okay.
Has to be. Well, yeah, that's a look at some of the new mechanics and cards.
There was one other card that I wanted.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That I forgot to put in my original notes. So, Wolf of Devil's Breach.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Wolf of Devil's Breach is a 5/5 elemental wolf for red, red, and 3.
Okay.
Wolf of Devil's Breach says, whenever Wolf of Devil's Breach attacks, you may pay red and 1 and discard a card. If you do, Wolf of Devil's Breach deals damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the discarded card's converted mana cost.
Okay.
So the thing that's a little tricky about this card is they actually have stuff in a little bit backwards of order of how it works. So Wolf of Devil's Breach targets at the time that the trigger goes in the stack. So you choose what you're targeting. You don't pay any costs until the trigger resolves.
Okay.
And that also means you don't discard the card, and so the number isn't locked in.
Okay.
So if I have a Wolf of Devil's Breach and attack, and you have a bear cub on the battlefield, right? Just random 2/2.
Okay.
And I target it with the trigger, you have a giant growth in your hand. You have to decide whether or not to use that giant growth before I pay mana and before I discard a card.
Okay.
Because
what if you discarded the card and then giant growth? Then that's fine?
Well, if they discarded the card, then the ability is in the process of resolving. You don't pay the mana or discard the card until the trigger is resolving. And if you're doing that, you're dealing the damage, and then the bear cub's probably dead.
Okay.
So be aware that Wolf of Devil's Breach is... They don't make the decisions until after you do. basically. The person attacking with Wolf of Devil's Bridge.
So it's you've got to be pretty cautious when you're playing this card, like, or it's being played against you. To be like, hold on.
When it's being played against you, it's most important to pay attention. Because so they'll attack you with Wolf of Devil's Reach, they'll target your creature, and then you have to decide whether or not to save it with a buff spell, or whether to regenerate it, or whether to transform it if it's...
Because if you give it indestructible, say, they can just choose not to.
Yep, they're like, it's fine. No cards, no matter.
And if you don't choose to, then you don't get another chance.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's past your opportunity, and they're going to kill your guy.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Whew.
And so that one is tricky and weird. And yeah, so be aware that your opponent isn't trying to blow you out, other than the fact that they're trying to blow you out. They aren't lying to you.
They're just using their mythic in the correct way to use their mythic.
They're just doing what the card says. Just
fair enough.
It's just ordered kind of strangely because of the way that they template cards.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rob. That was really helpful. I learned many things.
Good primer.
Cutest card and grossest card.
Ooh.
It's the most important moment in everybody's lives for a new set. When Megan and I name the grossest card and cutest card, respectively.
The most important information that anyone's looking for.
It's very true. The cutest card, of course, was a challenge in this set because the set is disgusting.
Yeah.
Laz's art.
Really disgusting.
Really gross.
Yeah.
But there did manage to be some cute cards that squirmed their way into this set despite the disgusting nature of it.
All right.
My runner is up. Runner up, Griff's Boon.
It's the giant weird like swan pegasus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's super weird, but kind of cute.
It's kind of cute because it's got these little eyelashes.
Little face.
It's got like cute little eyelashes.
I don't think its spine works right.
I agree. It is very distorted. Yeah. Like it probably can't be an animal, but that's why this is
that's
magic.
Fine. It's magic, you guys.
This is magic.
Another runner up, which a lot of people thought was going to be the winner of cutest card. Gitrog monster.
Very cute.
Arm hanging out of its mouth. Pretty cute.
Very cute.
All right. But the ultimate winner of cutest card, which I know is going to be controversial, everybody, but I had to go with my heart.
This is my guess, by the way.
All right.
Is, drum roll, please, Erdwald Illuminator.
What?
Erdwald Illuminator?
Where is he?
Erdwald Illuminator.
Also, no love for Toppelgeist.
Toppelgeist, real cute.
I'm melting out over
what did you think it was, Rob?
I thought it was Press for Answers.
Have you seen the little monster in the back of Press for Answers?
All right, pull it up.
Look at him. He's so cute.
He is okay.
He's so sad.
He's so cute.
Look, Erdwald Illuminator is like a bag of sheets tied up with some ropes, floating around with
his
little lamp that's also like a dog. Poor. Like, I don't know what's walking what. Is that little lamp walking this thing, or is that thing walking its lamp?
Is the lamp the illuminator?
I'm just taking my lamp for a walk.
Look at him. He's like, excuse me, I'm like a little sad, but I still need to take my lamp for a walk.
I'm just going to take my lamp for a walk, everybody. Okay.
He's cute.
I love the question of who's taking who for a walk. I mean, isn't that really just the question in all of our lives?
Yeah. Erdwald. I can't even say it.
Illuminator.
Erdwald Illuminator. Cutest card. All right, Megan.
Very cute.
Grossest card.
All right. You guys, there's a lot of competition, stiff competition in this set.
Yeah.
Shout out, or, you know, whatever, like, anti-shout out to Grotesque Mutation.
Oh. That was my guess.
Actually. Disgusting.
So bad.
Disgusting.
That actually just might be a nightmare that I have, is that my hands mutate
into a giant set of...
I take off my glove and it turns out my hand is mutated.
Like
into
a tunnel of mouths.
Yeah.
Is really what's going on there. It's terrible and grotesque and horrifying. But what is more horrifying still in my world is Magnifying Glass.
Yeah.
I cannot
look
at the card Magnifying Glass. In fact, Judge Rob, I have a question to ask you, which is that if I were to draft and play, I can't look at it. You can't pull it up while I'm sitting here.
Oh, it's just a tattoo that can blink at you.
No.
No, she's going to hit you. She literally hit me on a show. She's freaking out, everybody. This freakout is not fake.
Oh, God. If I were to draft this card and wanted to play it, could I take a Sharpie and color over that part of the art? Would that be legal?
Yeah, that's just fine.
Okay.
You know. altering it.
You guys, I can't even think about it. I can't even think about it. Ugh.
Megan, cleanse your palate with this other card, which is another runner-up that I forgot to mention.
Tell me about
cutest
it,
card.
Please.
Haunted Cloak.
Haunted Cloak.
Look at that little guy.
Aww.
He's just in a cloak.
He's just a cloak.
It actually looks way better when you look at the actual art. The actual art just went up for sale recently. It's like $1,200.
Little elk dude?
Yeah, it's an elk spirit that's inside
a
cloak.
Elk spirit inside a cloak. This cloak is haunted by an elk.
Yeah.
Weird. Of all the things I thought it'd be haunted by.
What's haunting your cloak? An elk. What the fuck?
Okay. Well, I've never had a haunted jacket, though, either. It's not been something I've dealt with.
No, me neither.
All right.
You guys. 13. My stomach feels weird.
We'll get some food. We'll get some food in you.
I'm thinking about magnifying
glass. Oh, Megan.
Hey, so it's better than Shard of Broken Glass,
Shard
honestly.
Of Broken... That, I think, is gross.
What? Shard of Broken Glass is gross. But no, it's just there's nothing there, man.
Well, it's... So, I have the concept of I am so desperate that I broke a stained glass window and picked it up with my bare hands. Didn't wrap it first.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to cut my hand up and bleed in order to stab somebody else.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
Like, it's just the concept of it. You can see that this person is utterly terrified. And that's the only reason that they're at this
point. Let me give you another gross hypothetical situation. There's a tiny eyeball on your shoulder.
Can I see
it? She can't even say it!
Can I see out of the tiny eyeball?
Oh my god! No, Megan, come back to us! R.I.P. R.I.P. Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for joining us. Megan,
hold on.
Are you
Can we ask one more?
Out?
No, what? One more hypothetical question to judge off. Who do you think is the big bad? Who's the big bad of the set?
Oh, great question.
Emrakul.
Yeah. Do you know what really convinced me was the on the clue arts? There's the one that's the stained glass of Avacyn
in
the broken window, and it's like in the out. It's the silhouette of Emrakul.
What?
Have you looked at it?
No.
Look at it. It totally is.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew there would be some kind of clue that they would put in the art.
It's that one's like one of the more obvious ones, I think.
Oh, come back.
Here it is.
Yeah. Do you see? The glass is broken in the silhouette of Emrakul.
Oh my god.
Right?
Well, there's they also solved the clue puzzle, right?
Yeah, the remember they came as three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it turns out that Ugin's insight wasn't one of the clues, it was the solution.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh.
So they came as three. Oh yeah, it's gotta be Emrakul. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That's crazy. I did not notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Interesting.
It's sweet in the art. All right. Whew.
Well, sweet sweat. Sweet.
Sweet set.
Sweet set, everybody. Thanks,
yes.
Judge Rob, for helping us go through these rules and, pick our grossest and cutest cards. I always like you as a sounding board for that.
Yeah. Very interesting.
If you guys have awesome
Good
pre-release
input.
Stories, please tweet them at us. Photos from your pre-release. If you have a deck full of the cutest card or the grossest card.
No.
Okay, cutest card. Tweet it at us. I want to see your
picks. At MTAcast.
You should ask them to tweet you grotesque mutations instead.
Yeah, you can tweet us as many pictures of grotesque mutation as you want.
We're at MTAcast online, of course, magicthamaturing.com on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can find us online. I'm horny_unicorny.
I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And of course, all our back episodes available on our website and on Tolarian Community College. You can see our videos. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast for sweet rewards. Or if you just want to straight up buy a Playmat or t-shirt, head over to magicthamaturing.com.
Yep.
They've been going to the four corners of the globe, those playmats. So. Yeah, get yours before they're gone, because I'm not sure I want to order more.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.